All right, well, good afternoon. I'll start by saying I have no financial relationships to disclose. Petting zoos and other facilities that offer visitors the chance to interact with animals are popular attractions at fairs, events, and other venues around the country and can serve as an important opportunity for education and enrichment. Unfortunately, animals in public settings are also commonly associated with enteric disease outbreaks. Approximately 200 outbreaks related to animal contact, causing more than 4,300 illnesses and 500 hospitalizations, were reported to the Centers for Disease Control from 1996 to 2012. A variety of pathogens potentially associated with animal contact, including Salmonella, E. coli, Campylobacter, Cryptosporidium, influenza, and ringworm, have been documented sources of disease outbreaks. Many of these pathogens are routinely carried by animals and may be shed even if the animal does not exhibit clinical signs or symptoms. County fairs occur every summer in Minnesota and are one of the primary places where many people interact with animals. Historically, these fairs were dominated by agricultural exhibits and competitions, which reflected their original purpose of encouraging farming in the state. While agriculture is still the primary focus, the scope of activities has broadened to include a variety of other exhibits. Certain characteristics of fairs can increase the risk of human disease outbreaks. Fairs are held in the summer, when warm weather can help proliferate bacterial growth. Animals may be stressed due to transport, crowding, and the number of people interacting with them, which can increase the amount of bacteria shed in feces. The commingling of animals from multiple sources increases the probability that animals shedding bacteria will infect other animals. Fairs are a little bit like daycares in that respect, and one infected animal can quickly spread pathogens to others. Finally, many of the people that interact with animals at fairs come from urban or suburban settings and are unlikely to have had previous exposures to the pathogens mentioned earlier. The elimination of all risks associated with human and animal contact is impossible, but adhering to existing guidelines and recommendations can help reduce these risks and limit the potential for human exposure. Prior studies have shown that compliance with recommendations is poor, and even when compliance is good, environmental contamination and the colonization of animals by bacteria can serve as sources for human exposure. Because of these risks, specific visitor behaviors like hand washing and supervised contact, along with an understanding of the risks present, are essential in preventing disease. The purpose of our study was to examine compliance with existing recommendations at venues in Minnesota and to design a method to systematically assess the level of risk present at these venues. This study was conducted during July and August of 2012 and was modeled on a similar University of Minnesota study done in 2007. In order to assess changes in compliance over time, due to interventions like outreach to fair operators and ongoing public education, the 2012 study attempted to visit the same fairs as in 2007. Investigators did not interact directly with visitors during this study. Instead, a structured observation was designed to collect information on petting zoo demographics and visitor behavior. Information was collected over two distinct observation periods, an initial 30-minute period in which information on facility design and setup, the number and types of animals present, and general visitor demographics was collected. The second 10-minute period occurred roughly 30 minutes after the first and focused on hand hygiene and attendance. At fairs with multiple animal contact venues, all venues were observed. Since 2005, the National Association of State Public Health Veterinarians, or NASPHV, has published recommendations with the goal of minimizing the health risks associated with animal contact in public settings. An updated version was published in 2013. Based on the 2011 version of the guidelines, observational data were grouped into five categories: the availability and location of hand hygiene facilities, animal care and management, staff and visitor interaction, facility design and setup, and the types of signage and health information present. Specific measures from each category were identified using the guidelines, and a panel of public health veterinarians was surveyed in order to determine the relative importance of each measure in disease prevention. Individual measures were first evaluated on a scale of importance, and the ratings were converted to point values. Those measures that were rated by the majority of survey respondents as being very important in preventing disease were given higher point values than those that experts felt were less essential. The selected measures and their point values were compiled into a risk assessment tool that could then be used to evaluate different facilities and venues. Response scores for measures within each of the five categories were added together to provide a score for that category, and then category scores were combined in order to determine a total score for each venue. The total score was then matched against a scale of risk from minimal to high in order to quantify the overall risk for human disease at each venue. The final tool was applied to data collected in both 2007 and 2012, and analysis was performed comparing scores across years as well as by fair size, based on attendance. Small fairs were categorized as those with less than 25,000 visitors a year, medium fairs were those with between 25 and 50,000, and large fairs were those with attendance of more than 50,000 people. In 2012, 30 petting zoos were visited at 24 county fairs. The majority of venues were privately owned, and some operators appeared at multiple fairs. Data from 18 petting zoo facilities at 17 county fairs in 2007 were also analyzed. 14 of the petting zoos visited in 2012 were also visited in 2007. This map illustrates the locations of the county fairs visited as part of the study. Those counties highlighted in yellow were only visited in 2007, those in red were visited only in 2012, and those in blue were visited in both years. Annual fair attendance ranged from small, at just 10,000 visitors, to large, with over 300,000. The median number of visitors to petting zoo facilities was 285 people per hour, with a range of 84 to 1,716. All petting zoos were temporary exhibits associated with county fairs, although some were held in permanent buildings. The types of animals present at the petting zoos varied by fair, with the majority having animals like goats, horses, cattle, sheep, pigs, and poultry. Other petting zoos featured less common animals, including primates, reptiles, and wild carnivores, although visitors were prevented from having direct contact with some exotic species. The cattle, pigs, and goats pictured here were just some of the more traditional animals on display in 2012. Whereas this slide showcases some of the more exotic species that were on display. Of the kangaroo, wolf pups, and lemur pictured, visitors were able to have direct contact with all the animals except for the lemur. A variety of visitor behaviors were observed at petting zoos in both 2007 and 2012 that are considered higher risk activities, including unsupervised contact with animals, hand feeding of animals, and human food and beverage in animal areas. Visitor contact with species that are considered high risk, like young ruminants, reptiles or chicks, or even dangerous, like rabies reservoirs or wild carnivores, increased from just 56% of venues in 2007 to 79% of venues in 2012. This slide illustrates some of the behaviors observed in animal areas, including the consumption of human food and beverage, and objects like strollers serving as potentially contaminated fomites. And yes, that man is holding a beer. The children shown in these photos are feeding animals, in some cases without adult supervision, a behavior that is generally not recommended. Unsupervised contact with animals by young children is also common at fairs, as these photos illustrate. Inappropriate contact, as seen in the photo of the baby camel, and visitors disregarding boundaries, as in the photo of the boy reaching for chicks in the pen, is also an issue. The number of petting zoos with health information on display in the form of posters and signs increased from 67% in 2007 to 75% in 2012. Signs varied considerably between venues and included signs provided to facilities and fairs by the Minnesota Department of Health, available stock signs from the Centers for Disease Control, and signs created by fairs themselves. None of the petting zoo facilities visited in either 2007 or 2012 provided health information in languages other than English. There were no differences in hand washing rates between facilities with signs versus those without. This was similarly observed with facilities that did or did not have signs prohibiting certain items in the petting zoo area. Hand hygiene signs were the most common type in both years, while other health messages, such as the potential risks of infection and entering animal contact areas, were less frequent. Generally, more signs were present in 2012 than in 2007, with the exception of signs prohibiting certain items like food, pacifiers, and strollers. In 2007, 44% of petting zoos displayed these, while only 36% did in 2012. In both 2007 and 2012, the majority of petting zoos provided hand hygiene facilities to visitors, either in the form of hand sanitizer, soap and water washing stations, or both. The location of hand hygiene stations varied by venue, but most were situated at the exhibit exit. The number of zoos that did not provide hand washing stations to visitors actually increased from 11% in 2007 to 21% in 2012. The median hand washing rate in 2012 was 25%, with a range from 0 to 100%. No single factor related to improved hand washing compliance, such as the presence and location of signs encouraging hand washing, was identified as being significant. The only factor that approached significance was having hand hygiene stations set up so that people must pass them upon exiting the venue. In both 2007 and 2012, barriers to hand washing, like inconvenient locations and non-standard or inaccessible stations, were observed. The quality and availability of supplies was also an issue at times. The sanitizer bottle shown at left was the only hand hygiene facility for use at the fair. When total scores for petting zoos in both 2007 and 2012 were compiled, nearly all facilities fell into the moderate and high risk categories. Three zoos in 2012 scored as low risk, but neither year had facilities in either the minimal or very high risk categories. In both years, the highest scores were in the animal care and management category, which refers to how well animals were cared for and how healthy they appeared to be, while scores for signage and public information were consistently poorer. When compared across years, median scores were found to be significantly different in the staff-visitor interaction and animal care and management categories. Raw scores indicate an improvement in the level of interaction between staff and visitors, and increased compliance in the hand hygiene, facility design, and signage and public information categories from 2007 to 2012, while scores in animal care and management decreased. Medium-sized petting zoos tended to have higher mean scores than both large or small venues when both total score and individual categories were compared by venue size. Our observations and findings are consistent with those of previous studies in terms of key disease prevention activities like hand washing. In terms of compliance with established disease prevention guidelines, our results indicate that there is room for improvement. Even those venues that had higher overall scores still had poor rates for hand hygiene. However, this study's median rate, of 25% compliance is consistent with the lower end of the ranges found in other studies. Anecdotally, venue operators appear to be reluctant to add signage about the risks of animal contact, possibly out of concern that such signs would deter visitors. The risk assessment tool created here provided a quantitative means of evaluating compliance with established recommendations for disease prevention. By assigning point values to particular behaviors and factors, the tool allows the use of simple observations to quantify the level of risk present at a variety of facilities. it is impossible to eliminate all risk from animal contact venues like petting zoos. But the risk assessment tool could help venue planners to identify and address potential areas of risk. This study had several limitations. County fairs are concentrated into a few weeks of summer, so multiple fairs occur simultaneously and not all eligible fairs could be visited. Petting zoos included in the study were chosen based on proximity to the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, so fairs in southwestern and northern Minnesota were not included. There were also minor changes in the questionnaire from 2007 to 2012. This preliminary study provides evidence that despite improvements in compliance over time, there is still much to be done in order to reduce the risk of human illness at animal contact venues. Actively engaging petting zoo owners and operators is essential to reduce these risks, along with public education to better inform visitors of their role in disease prevention. Finally, future audits will play an important role in continuing to assess improvements in compliance. I would just like to acknowledge my other contributors to the project and say thank you.
We have a couple of minutes for questions.
Not really. If there were any that had that, it would probably be the petting zoos that were run by either FFA or 4-H chapters, but the private petting zoos, their employees are generally not very engaged with the visitors. Yeah.
Do you have any sense of disease rates or disease occurrences occurring in those fair areas?
Well, we did actually have an outbreak that occurred at a fair that we weren't at in 2012, and the Minnesota Department of Health just last week was investigating two potential petting zoo outbreaks, so they are happening. So,
NC State, North Carolina, their state fair, they had an outbreak of E. coli.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, they've had a few. They've had a few. So, yeah, it can be. That's probably the most serious one that happens, I guess, from animal contact that we've seen in Minnesota. So.
Did you look at other parts of the fairgrounds? Because when I observed the LA County Fair, I saw people handling animals outside of the petting zoo, just in the pens.
Yeah, we did. So when we went to the fairs, we would first target the petting zoos, but then we also did sort of walkthroughs at all the animal barns. And we saw similar things, also not a lot of hand hygiene. And as bad as the hand hygiene facilities were at petting zoos, they were worse near the barns. A lot of them were just, you know, empty of supplies and things like that. So. Yeah, so there is the Minnesota Federation of County Fairs is like a loosely organized organization, I guess, of fairs. But membership to that is voluntary. And then in terms of individual counties, each county has its own fair board that does the fair. So that's another part of the problem. There's not really one agency that can do oversight for the whole thing.
It was kind of leading to my question. I was going to ask was who has the liability?
That's an issue that the Minnesota Department of Health has tried not to talk about, but it's becoming something that...
If your reports are made public, then they're going to be used against them.
So. Yeah, and so I think that's something that we've... just this past summer in 2013, we did some healthy fairs workshops with people who are venue operators at the fairs and fair boards and things like that. And we did bring up the issue that, you know, in cases such as in North Carolina or in other situations when there have been outbreaks and people get sued, it's for big money. And so it's to your best interest to really, yeah.
Is anywhere we can wait to the end? Thank you
all
very
right.
much.
Thanks. This is Bill.
Thank you.